We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right.
Sports Radio 929 The Game. It is a show. I am Jarvis Davis. Tanitra Batiste will be joining me in just 1 second. I hope you all are enjoying this beautiful, beautiful Saturday. We got a lot on board for today. We got the Atlanta Hawks coming up today, facing elimination. Don't be scary, guys. Don't be fearful. These guys have been here before. And they are 1-0 facing an elimination. So you shouldn't be too concerned, Tanitra. I hear you amening over there in your voice. So I'm assuming that you're in it kind of in the same boat right there.
I've seen out of the resilient Hawks this entire season, especially the back half. The minute they walked off the court in game five was the minute that they left game five behind. So yes, I think the fans should still be encouraged. There's a lot that the Hawks have shown you throughout this entire postseason run. And even before that, to let you know that, yes, we saw them, Jarvis. We saw them disappear on defense, just like everyone else in that 123-112 loss in game five, right? But at the end of the day, they are more than resilient, and they said it not just in that post-game press conference, but they've shown you throughout this particular run. So speaking of run, Jarvis, before we go any further, because you and I are going to talk ad nauseum Hawks Bucks for the next 2 hours,
deep dive.
Here on Sports. Yes, we will deep dive, and we will let you guys deep dive as well right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But we're
And like Tanitra said, we're going to be going to take a little deep dive into, we're going to talk about the NIL and the Wild Wild West that is college football right now. And to be honest with you, I think there are some things that we need to have some conversations about. And we're definitely going to be taking your calls at 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Make sure you call in as well. Throughout the show, we're going to be talking heavy Hawks. We're going to talk about this NIL. Are these guys, these college football players, going to get to the bag? Or are you going to start looking at them a little differently? Are you looking at the game differently? We're going to get into that coming up in about 17 minutes or so. But before we get there, Braves Marlins. Game two is in progress right now. They're in the top of the sixth inning. The Marlins are up 3-1. And Ozzy Albies is continuing his tear like he normally does. He's he hit a single to drive in Ronald Acuna to get on the board, and the Marlins came back in the sixth inning with Garrett Cooper, and he homered to right field, which brings the score to 3-1. The Braves currently sit third in the NL East and a half a game behind the Washington Nationals. And hopefully these guys can get to 500 and figure out a way to get back into this game going forward.
Yeah, Jarvis, it's amazing that we're actually having this conversation about the Braves. Braves, of course, are 40-41, so we're now hitting the midpoint of the season, and we're still talking about 500. We're still talking about right. 500 with the Braves, so definitely very, very interesting place for the Braves to be. But like I said, the last time that we were on air, because it's been a minute since we've been with you guys, and we appreciate you as always for listening. But the last time we were on air, the Hawks found themselves facing down, staving off elimination, or looking to stave off elimination with the Sixers, and the Braves found themselves trying to get a W versus the Marlins, and both things happened. So there's every possibility that because we are on air today, maybe we're the good luck charms, right?
Right. Yeah, of course. Yes. And that we're back. Hey, of course they're going to get a win. Why wouldn't they, T?
Yes. And listen, we're going to talk and talk and talk over the next 2 hours. Definitely going to talk a little bit of Braves, but certainly are going to talk a lot of Hawks. So if you guys want to get in on the conversation, whether you want to give us a call or you want to text us, of course, you can do that on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. And of course, if you are taking in the beautiful day that is Atlanta, I'm sure you guys are listening to us on the radio. But if you're at home kind of kicking it in the backyard with your family this 4th of July weekend, you can listen to us on the Odyssey app as well. And, of course, follow us on social media at Tanitra Batiste, at Jarvis Davis, or Jarvis D90, I should say, and at 92.9 The Game. So, Jarvis, before we do any more deep diving into the Hawks, because we're going to be doing that for the next 2 hours, and, of course, we'll keep you guys updated as well on the Braves-Marlins game two that's in progress of that three-game series as they wrap the homestand. I want to ask you, you did something that was a little unique for this year, at least. We're getting back slowly but surely to normal, but this isn't exactly normal for you. How you kicked off your 4th of July weekend, but particularly how you kicked off your Saturday.
You know what, T? The one thing that I thought was very interesting as far as being put into this situation, right? Like, because my neighbors are avid runners, you know, they've done the Peachtree Road Race. It's been a family thing for years. And they had mentioned it to Tanae, my wife. And she, of course, Tanae, like, oh, yeah, that'd be a great idea. Then next thing you know, a week later, hey, I signed us up for the Peachtree Road Race. Okay.
Yeah, it became a great idea for the Davis family.
Yeah. All right. And then, you know, it kind of fast forward to, you know, a week later, you know, wife wasn't feeling too well and stuff. So she was just like, all right, I don't think I'm going to be able to run this week. So it's going to be all on you. It's like, okay. So, you know, I'm trying to get myself together. I walk around the neighborhood for a little bit, you know, trying to get a mile in and just kind of, you know, get the feel of it, kind of get some, bought some new shoes and everything. I was all prepared and ready to roll. So get out there and I see all the people out there, and then I'm just seeing just all age groups and just to be. And you know what, see, the one thing that I thought was that kind of just really hit home and it really brought it home for me was just seeing all those people just be out there and everybody around each other. And of course, I'm sure people had some, you know, some skepticism or were feeling a little uneasy being around so many people. But it was just really cool to just be out there and not really be concerned about, okay, you know, what's going on or why don't get too close to me and all that stuff. But when I say it, the other funny thing that to be able to get to the starting lineup or whatever, or to start the race, that was an excellent warm up. I feel like I walked a mile before I even started the race. I was already glossed up, sweating before we even started the race. I was like, oh yeah, it's about to be a very interesting day.
Which is interesting, Jarvis, because it was a mild day for Atlanta, right? I think we started in the high 60s, low 70s.
Yes, and that was one of the things that my neighbor Jonathan, he brought up. He said, neighbor John, we're gonna call him neighbor John. Neighbor John said, he's like, because they have like an indicator on the side of the road, that kind of tells you like the terms of like the weather and everything like that. And they have like a color coded on how everything is. And he was just like, this was the first time, like, mind you, he's been doing this for years with his family. He said this was the first time it was actually green. He said most of the time it's been orange, yellow, and sometimes even red, like, because it's been so humid and hot outside early in the morning, but it was nice and cool. I think God understood that I was going to be out there today. You know, I wholeheartedly believe that, because that cool weather and no humidity, that is a recipe for greatness for me, because that, if that humidity had been out there, I don't know if I would have made it.
Oh yeah. the humidity here is maybe bested only by what I experienced growing up in Louisiana in the New Orleans area or living in Houston. But yeah, here it is a beast as well. And like you, I can't say this morning was a new experience, but I'd say maybe a reset of an experience because, of course, I've been cycling for the past couple of months. But I admit that, yeah, I'd gotten off track the last, like, 2 weeks. And so we had an event for my group. Shout out to the Ride or Die crew. And we started in a different space and kind of added miles. And it was just kind of an organized situation today. And I was just there to register people for our event. That was my whole goal. Like, hey, I've got a show tonight. We've got a big game six that we're going to be covering. So I don't know how long I'm going to be out there. But long story short, I said, you know what? You're out here. You're already geared up. Go ahead and try to get in. You know how you psych yourself up. You do the Jedi mind trick. So I told myself, go ahead and just get a mile in. Like, just ride to the corner and come back. And I ended up actually getting in, I believe it was 12 miles this morning. Ooh, but wow. I was able, 12 miles and was absolutely gassed at the end. But it was worth it because I felt so much better. I was gassed, but I felt so much better. Right. Like, I had kind of conquered it because whether it's running or cycling, it's something that you have to continuously do. So I had to get my body reacclimated for that. But yeah, I was like, yeah, you powered through all right, but you powered through in like 67, 72 degree type weather. That power through would have been, like you said, humidity, or if we had been in the 80s, man, it would have been crazy. It would have been absolutely crazy. But yeah, beautiful day. I'm glad that you were able to get to do the Peachtree Road Race. I've been saying for the last couple of years that I was going to do it. You've been saying it, and you actually were able to get it in. So excited for you on your Peachtree Road Race. And, you know, the offer stands for you when you are ready or when the Davis crew is ready to come out and join us on the trail, because we really get it in cycling-wise. So whenever guys are ready, we're definitely ready.
You know, I got to get out there flex my since I'm so in shape right now, because I did a 10K today. You know, I'm smelling myself right now. I'm sore as all get out, and I'm probably going to soak in some Epsom salt, and my feet, you know, hurting all like crazy, and I'm really feeling my age right now. But you know what? Yeah. I'm still going to stick my chest out because, hey, I got a 10K in. What did you do?
You got through.
How about that?
Exactly. You pushed through. You persevered. And that's the same conversation that I know Hawks fans are absolutely hoping they're going to hear at the end of the night, that the Hawks pushed through, that the Hawks persevered. And even Braves Marlins, of course, that game still 3-1 in favor of the Marlins, but it's only the bottom of the sixth, no outs. So we'll keep you guys posted on the Braves progress. Of course, Braves took game one, stellar outing from Drew Smyly, but not so stellar outing for the Marlins pitcher. So we're going to talk a little bit about that later, about that Ronald Acuna hit by pitch, but he got him back because, of course, he scored that eventual game winner in that 1-0 win. So another one that I want to just shout out, because she is still just absolutely amazing, and we're only scratching the surface when it comes to her, but Coco Gauff, she beat Angelique Kerber in straight sets to move on to Wimbledon's Sweet 16, 6-3, 6-3 win this morning. I had an opportunity to watch that and behold Coco Gauff, Atlanta native Coco Gauff, out there still doing amazing things, getting to the Sweet 16 for Wimbledon for 2021, when you have a combination of things, of course, but so many players. She, of course, is number 25 in the world, and you have so many players. It's kind of been a war of attrition for them, almost like the NBA playoffs, where so many players, including Serena Williams, have gone down to injury, or there's been a coronavirus issue, and she has just powered through to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, good for Coco, because, you know, it's amazing, like, when these prodigies, I like to refer to her as, you know, when they come on the scene.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, they look so young and so, like, just vibrant, and then you see them a couple of, then they get into it and they start playing, and then you start to see them kind of just grow up, and like, just looking at her, and you're just like, man, she's grown up already. Like she's 17 now. And it was like, wow, she came on scene, you know, as an early teen. Like, so it's just so amazing to see how poised she can be when she's out there on the court. And for her to be in the Sweet 16, you know, at Wimbledon, like this, that is an amazing feat. And I, you know me, I'm always on, always rooting for the young pups to go make some noise.
Absolutely. And Atlanta's own Coco Gauff, of course, had a similar run back in 2019. She finished this run with 21 winners. She broke Kerber 5 times. And also, she won her doubles match on today. So she's doing some great things over there. We'll be keeping our eye on her to see how far, how deep a run she can go over in Wimbledon. But when we come back, Jarvis, an interesting turn of events that's kind of been building up for a while, but an interesting turn of events on Thursday as the NCAA reversed their stance on name, image, and likeness. So when we come back, that is what we're going to talk about. We're certainly going to take calls on it, 404-741-0929. You can text us at that number as well. He's Jarvis Davis. I'm Tanitra Batiste. This is the show on 92.9 The Game. Join us on the other side as we talk names, images, and likenesses. Reggie Bush, you getting that Heisman back? And how do you feel about college athletes and college football now that they can get paid off this? We'll be back.
I'm a mic dominator, and suckers can't hang. And I run with 3 fellas and not no gang. See the 2 mic fresh in my cousin.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the show. I am Jarvis Davis. I got my co-host with me, Tanitra Batiste. We're taking you all the way up to 8 o'clock, which is the Atlanta Hawks versus the Milwaukee Bucks Game 6 pregame show with Mike Conti and Steve Holman. Tanitra, I don't know. The anticipation might be getting to me a little bit. I'm starting to get a little jittery over here out here in the
booth.
Right.
And it's like and check that real quick, guys, because when you hear Andy Bunker's voice, I don't want you to be shocked, right? We're doing double duty tonight, actually, because we got Conti and Jason Longshore. Yeah, over at calling the United Fire game. That'll be on our sister station, Star 94.1. So our guy, Andy Bunker, is going to be on the call with Steve tonight. And it's funny that you mentioned nerves, because literally I texted Andy earlier just kind of checking in with him, because, of course, I'll be headed over to the arena after the show. And I said, hey, you know, just checking in to kind of see how you're doing. Are you on the call tonight? He's like, I am very excited to be in the building, but very nervous about the game. And I don't think it's nerves in a bad way, Jarvis. I don't think we're thinking that this isn't going to go well for the Hawks, or they're not ready, or Nate McMillan won't have those guys ready. But legitimately, this is a situation that only, at this point, 3 teams, right? Only 3 teams have the opportunity to be last man standing. The Suns, of course, have already punched their ticket, and they just await the winner of this series. But I believe the nervousness is just whether you are a fan, whether you've been covering this team or this franchise for the last couple of years, just seeing the ascent. And now they're right there, granted, trying to stave off elimination, but also you're encouraged that they're right there at the cusp of doing something great. Yeah, that can kind of have the butterflies in your stomach.
Yeah, you're talking about an NBA Finals appearance when coming into this season. Even Clint Capella talked about how it was just a matter of just getting into the dance. That was the thing. Yeah. But as the season progressed, you start to see, like, okay, we might be better than that. So let's raise these expectations, especially when Nick McMillan took over as head coach. I think that's when the guys start to realize, like, all right, that's when you start to see the Belize, hashtag believe in Atlanta, you know, those things start to pop up and you start to really see, okay, this team can really make some noise because, hey, they have a guaranteed superstar and they have a cast of characters that can play some basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, they absolutely do. And when you look back at, as we like to call it here in Atlanta, March 1st, as sort of the day that everything changed, that 8-0 run from that moment that Nate McMillan took over, and then this run that darn near is approaching 40 wins this season from Nate McMillan, it is absolutely right. Amazing what they've been able to do. So like you said, we'll take you guys up to the pregame show that begins at 8 right here on 92.9 The Game. But we will talk Hawks. We're going to talk NCAA, of course, with the names, image, and likenesses. We're going to talk Braves. We've got some other things that we're going to hit you guys with in our rapid fire segment and maybe even our This Is Why segment. But this is your opportunity, Hawks fans. If you want to get in the show and you want to weigh in, we'll take your calls and text just about at any point during the show at 404-741-0929.
So we're talking about professional athletes, right, with the Atlanta Hawks.
Yep.
They get paid, right?
Yeah.
Nobody has a real problem with that unless they get paid or they feel like they're overpaid. You know, oh, man, he's overpaid. He needs
right.
to earn his
or
contract.
He's getting a max contract that he didn't earn.
He didn't earn, yeah. You know, like some big dudes in Conyers and, you know, that don't really care for guys like John Collins who's trying to get max money. But, you know, that's a whole nother conversation. No, we'll get into that today. Now, July 1st was a very important day, Tanitra. Because that's when the floodgates opened. I'm talking about, I had a colleague of mine sending me a story about De'Aaron King starting to promote at clubs and he about to get appearance fees and, you know, sources quoted. This is a cluster fuffle, you know, like just all type of stuff just going down, right? College athletes were officially granted rights to profit off their names, image, and likenesses on Thursday. I know for me, my first response when I started to see some of these deals, like this is so weird talking about this, and I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. The deals and the numbers, only numbers that I saw was the one from Percy Miller, who is, you like, oh, that sounds familiar. Percy Miller, Master P,
right.
You know, that guy. His son signed a $2 million deal with a tech company for Tennessee State. No, that's not one of the Blue Bloods. Like, and I was going back and forth with the guy on Twitter talking about how the Blue Bloods going to take over. Yeah, I haven't heard of a Blue Blood school getting a $2 million deal for one of their players. But, hey, that's a whole nother conversation as well. But I absolutely love the fact that these guys are getting opportunity to profit off of their names. Because it's their name. So like why wouldn't they be able to do that? But I think it's just super, super cool. And I think it's gonna be interesting because like I said, it's gonna be like the wild, wild west this season because the NCAA refuses to monitor and or hire enough people to be able to see what's going on with all of these different entities, meaning the conferences.
Right. And of course, we know that this is a work in progress. This is something that is a temporary policy that's been put in place, although the seismic shift has been felt from that moment. Like you mentioned, Percy Miller being one of those that, wow. And then over at Mississippi State, Jackson State defensive end signed a historic midnight endorsement deal. So Antoine Owens. So, yeah, that's something where you're looking across the entire landscape and you're seeing the possibilities of what can happen for these players who've made millions and millions and millions of dollars, if not billions, for their respective institutions that they play for. And of course, we know that over the years, you've had people who are very adamantly on one side that, yes, they absolutely should profit. It's their name, as you mentioned, it's their image, it's their likeness. Why wouldn't they be able to profit? And then you have others who are very staunch and quote unquote very traditional. This is an opportunity for them to receive an education and that should be more than enough to pay for. And it's interesting because you, of course, being a former college athlete, can speak to just how much of your time is spent focusing way more on the sport that you play than anything else, right? So,
no doubt.
You know, hey, I hear you pundits who are on that side. So it'll be interesting to see, because like you said, right now, there's sort of no governance unless there, of course, is an edict that is coming down from your respective state that kind of gives you guidelines on how to manage through the names, images, and likenesses and how the athletes will be able to profit off of that. But one of the more intriguing fallouts from that is the situation with Reggie Bush. And it's interesting because, of course, we know that he was stripped of his award-winning season and therefore his Heisman. So the Heisman Trust came out on Friday.
He would have had that season regardless if he received benefits or not, right? Yeah. Let's go ahead and put that out there also.
Yeah, like if we look at that season, if you take away the benefits, last I checked, the season was the season. And in our minds, that still was an amazing season from Reggie Bush. So fine, if you want to, you know, strip his award-winning season. But in that statement, basically the Heisman Trust put it back at the feet of the NCAA. And they said, hey, we are willing to return his award once he becomes eligible for said award. We'll return his trophy, but you have to let us know if his college stats will be reinstated, because you're actually going to essentially reverse those sanctions that you levied on Reggie Bush and USC. So now that debate is raging in a different way. Okay, now that you're over here saying it's okay for college athletes to benefit from their images, their names, their likenesses with Reggie Bush's season, are you going to reinstate it? Should you reinstate it and pave the way for him to get his Heisman back?
Yeah, this is the thing about this whole situation, right? The reason why we're here, the reason why this is going to be the Wild Wild West, is because nobody wants to take responsibility and say, you know, take ownership of this thing and say, you know what? This is what it is. Here's where we are. And here's how we're going to move forward. Nobody wants to do that. They're trying to run it up through the Senate and the House. And like, dude, like, you're the governing entity of this thing that we have here, right? For the past umpteen years, you've tried to project this amateurism and mm-hmm. all of this crap. Meanwhile, all these coaches are making $7, $8, and $9 million a year, and everybody has benefited from it, except for the doggone players. And you're selling me on, oh yeah, they get a chance to go to the NFL. Yeah, well, like 1% of those dudes get the chance to go to the NFL. Think about what the amount of money Tim Tebow would have made if he was able to profit off his name, image, and likes in college. And he probably wouldn't be playing minor league baseball for like 17 years and sucking and just being just a face or people mm-hmm. profiting off of him. Essentially, he's in college all over again because he's not making that much money playing minor league baseball, or he wouldn't be still trying to play football. You know, he probably would have said, you know what? I had an excellent career in college, and my NFL mm-hmm. career was what it was, but I was able to profit off of my biggest accomplishments in college. So, you know what? I'm good. Man, I'll take a step back. But no, that's not the case. He's still sitting here, still trying to achieve that fame, still trying to get that attention that he had back when he was in college. So I think that the NCAA has to take accountability and say, you know what? We know we might not really want to be in this particular situation, but this is what it is. This is what it is going to be going forward. So, hey, let's go ahead and try to at least get some type of system in place to try to monitor this stuff so things won't get too out of hand.
Yeah, and there's one thing you mentioned as well. This is another opportunity for the NCAA to assert its authority as opposed to sitting back and waiting. So you have states like Florida, Alabama, and Mississippi that had already pushed ahead with their NIL laws that ultimately led to permitting those actions as of Thursday in their respective states. And then the Kentucky governor, he signed an executive order and I believe the governor of Ohio did as well. As you mentioned, the governors of the states in this country should not be the determining right. factors when there's governing body over college sports. And how many times have we seen when it comes to 50 entities making different right. decisions on something like this, that that is just a recipe for disaster. And this also, and taking nothing away from the names, images, and likenesses debate, if you will. But you know what else it made me think about, Jarvis? It really made me think about the fact that slowly but surely, this is just one more notch on the belt of your Power Five saying, we can govern ourselves. We can break away ourselves.
We don't need the NCAA. Exactly.
What is your reason for existing? What are you here to govern? What are you here to guide? Seems to me you're just kind of... and you're just kind of like... Right, you're just kind of like a model. It's just out there absolutely existing for no other reason than to, like you said, collect a check. And no other reason than to exist, but just... I believe it's yet another missed opportunity. The NCAA comes out and does this basically because several conferences had already actually spoken on this before, probably getting, you know, feeling that pressure, if you will, but then also really not putting down the hammer and saying, okay, but here's how we're going to govern this. Here's how we're going to dictate exactly what this means, who's making the rules, how those rules are going to be enforced. So it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, we're literally only 2 days into this ruling, and we're already seeing some of the fallout and hearing from some coaches who are really kind of showing some interesting sides of where they fall. And it'll be interesting to see how that might impact them from a recruiting perspective as well going forward. So when we come back, we are going to talk, speaking of recruiting, if you are a Bethune-Cookman or you are a BCC alum, recruitment for you, for your basketball program, just got really, really exciting today, according to sources. We'll talk about it on the other side of the rapid fire at the 40. I'm Tanitra Batiste with my partner, Jarvis Davis, and this is the show here on 92.9 The Game. We'll see you on the other side. When I met her at a party, she was hardly acting naughty. I said, Shawty, would you call me? Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Tanitra Batiste with Jarvis Davis, and this is the show. You can follow us on social media, or on Twitter, that is, at Tanitra Batiste, at Jarvis D90, and at 92.9 The Game. And you can weigh in if you guys want to talk a little Hawks Bucks ahead of Game 6. Obviously, this is a game that the Hawks need so they can stave off elimination and still have a shot to get to the NBA Finals. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. But also, that's the way that you can give us a call if you want to talk Hawks, if you want to tell us, hey, when you look at this game tonight, is this the most your faith has been tested in the Believe Atlanta mindset, in believing that the Hawks can actually get this thing done? If you want to talk about the adjustments that you think the Hawks need to make, or if you want to talk about what this game will look like with or without Trae Young, we are stalking our sources as we speak to see where he is in terms of his status. Obviously, the last injury report, the official report that came out from the NBA a little over an hour ago, still has him listed as questionable, has Bogdan Bogdanovic listed as probable, and of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo from earlier today already listed as out. But talking a little bit about basketball on the collegiate level, it looks like some things might just change big time for one school in particular, one HBCU in particular. Obviously, we've seen in these last couple of months a lot of former pro athletes taking up the mantle of head coaching for HBCUs. Of course, we see that with Deion Sanders, of course, earlier in this year, but also we see most recently Eddie George taking on Tennessee State. Now over on the basketball side, according to the ESPN's Undefeated, Reggie Theus, former NBA star Reggie Theus, is actually expected to be named both AD and men's head basketball coach at Bethune-Cookman next week. So yet another big-time get in the land of HBCU college sports.
Yeah, you know what? This is an interesting one because there's a little fire going on down there in Florida, because
yeah,
when you think about it, Reggie Theus hasn't had the best record as a head coach. So, and then coupled along with the fact that he is being hired as the athletic director as well. This is not a Deion Sanders situation in my eyes, because I look at it like this. If you are going to handle the sports aspect of this thing, right? Like, if you're going to handle the purely basketball thing and you haven't been that successful as a head coach from a basketball standpoint, even though you're a name, most people know Reggie Theus, but like these guys coming out right now, nobody knows who Reggie Theus is.
Because he coaches big three,
I barely know who Reggie Theus is, Tanitra.
They may know him because he's big three coaching.
Yeah, I mean, I look it up. I'm not as on board as you may be, because you know there was an interim head coach who had been there, Coach Stewart, and he had been doing his thing, and he had recruited all the guys in there, and he was starting to get some momentum, and the recruiting class was going right along, and then here we go, we have somebody. Oh, here's a name. Woo, let's throw a name in here. I like names when they fit or it makes sense, because you know Jackson State, it was in peril before Deion Sanders took over, and I don't mind you going with a name in that particular situation. So, and you know, Tennessee State not necessarily in the same boat, but you know, Tennessee State can take a chance on Eddie George. You know, they can take a chance on a guy like that. But when you bring in a guy who hasn't really had that much success, as a head coach, I kind of question it, especially when you had a guy who has been busting his behind doing all that he's trying to do to get that team turned around and get guys in there that can play basketball and try to put something together. I have a hard time really getting excited about that, because somebody was already there and had already started to put in the work.
Agreed. And I see your point there. I see your point. And when I say agree, just meaning I understand what you're saying. But on the same token, it goes back to the very question of what the focus is. So if the basketball team had a 16-14 record, the men's basketball program, when they last played back in 2019-2020, which is, you know, respectable. I mean, you were on the other side of 500. But so if you're looking at it purely from that perspective, absolutely, I can understand what you're saying. But if you're looking at it from the perspective of what that name may be, it may not mean anything necessarily to a non-basketball purist or a purist who wants either a coach who has a successful track record or a coach who has put in the work, like you mentioned with Coach Stewart. But if you're looking at it from the perspective of fundraising, and it'll be interesting to see if he's able to pull anyone from his experience with the G League team, right? Or if he's able to pull anyone from his coaching tree from his success with Big Three, then that changes the game a little bit. And you see that there's been a trend with Bethune-Cookman in these last several months where they are not afraid to shake things up. I mean, you know, they're now a member of the SWAC, so maybe for them they're looking at it from a bigger picture perspective of maybe not everyone is aware of who Reggie Theus is, but there are a lot of people where that name still has some cachet. If for nothing else, you're a two-time NBA All-Star, you did coach in the G League, and you're also currently coaching Big Three, and Big Three low-key is sort of almost like a developmental league or sort of like that next layer itself. So be interesting to see how it happens. But again, I think it just depends on what vantage point you're looking at it from and what Bethune-Cookman is ultimately hoping to accomplish with the hire.
And you know what, I mean, and with them bringing in a guy like Reggie Theus, you hope that financial piece. That's why I'm assuming they gave him that 80 title as well. So I think that's the main issue as far as when you look at HBCUs and how they are viewed and how they are carried along. It's like, hey, we need some money. So, you know, hopefully the basketball piece comes along with that money and there'll be a beautiful marriage. And hopefully Coach Theus gets it done down there at Bethune Cookman. Now, T. Now we know we still in the light part of the woods of the pandemic, or you know, on our way out, and everything is starting to come back to normal. But there's a 72-year-old man in England, and he is believed to have the longest known PCR confirmed case of COVID after testing positive for the coronavirus for 300 days.
Oh my. 300 days.
Now, he had a pre-existing condition of cancer, so that's why they've been, you know, they're taking their time with it, and they're making sure that everything is okay before they release from the hospital. But on day 265 of his illness, he was treated with two antibodies, health improved, and then four days after the treatment, the virus was not detected. Now, here's the thing that just really, I couldn't even imagine going through this. His wife has arranged a funeral five different times throughout this entire process.
Right.
I couldn't even imagine being in a situation where this man had this, you know, he's not a spring chicken either now. He's 72 years old. So it's just like either he has some very some very persistent antibodies or immune system, or man, they have just been going at it for the past almost year.
Yeah, and it's interesting because obviously when you have battled cancer, your immune system is definitely compromised, but it's almost like in a reversal of fate for him, whereas his system was compromised, so that's probably why it was the long-term case of coronavirus. But on the same token, you almost like to think, okay, but somehow on the flip side, in a, shall we say, less scientific, with less of a scientific explanation, that he's learned to fight. He has learned to fight. Yeah. This guy is a trooper. So I'm thinking to myself that, while his system, unfortunately, probably was not as capable as even the average 72-year-old to fight that. Maybe his mental and his wherewithal and all of the things that he's learned across all of the battles against cancer, he has literally figured out, like, Corona, if cancer couldn't get me, you're not getting me either. Because half the battle in those situations is your mental. That is astounding to me. Just like you said, the thought of his wife having to over and over again decide how she's going to let go of her beloved. And then he comes back, he bounces back. And then for him too, every time you take the test and you're encouraged and you're hopeful and you're trying to be optimistic, and then all of a sudden, Jarvis, you get that PCR test coming back positive. And it's like, again, you know, it has to be, wow, just the mental metal, just the fortitude to me is outstanding. But 300 days, crazy, crazy, crazy. But no different than the crazy up and down, back and forth that is the Braves-Marlins series, because of course now the Braves have tied, well, they're down just one. I'm actually trying to speak positive things into being, right, saying that they're tied, and who knows?
Right, yeah.
Who knows?
They'll be tied soon.
there we go. We're going to go with they will be tied soon, but as for now, in the bottom of the seventh, the Braves are now down by just 1-3-2 thanks to a Freddie Freeman single to right center, but also Marlins are still out here hitting folks by pitch. I'm just saying. Like, really? But Don Mattingly says that, hey, it wasn't Pablo Lopez's fault. It wasn't on purpose. But what Mike Soroka did was on purpose. Boy, I tell you, this Marlins Braves saga, when it comes to things like hit by pitch, always interesting. Yeah. Always interesting. Anyway, when we come back, we are going to talk a little bit about the most interesting thing that's at least happening here in Atlanta, in the Atlanta sports landscape. And that, of course, is Hawks Bucks. We're now a little over an hour away from pregame. So you guys, get ready to call in. Get ready to text us, 404-741-0929, to give us your thoughts on how the Hawks can go about getting this game six, forcing a game seven, and saving off elimination. Do you still have faith? Has your faith been tested as much as any test after game five? We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. I'm Tanitra Batiste for Jarvis Davis, and this is The Show. We'll be right back, right here on 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.